Hello. So very important. Father, we thank you today for what we're about to receive. I believe today that anyone in here, any one person, or more than one person, that's expecting something from you today will receive exactly what they need. They won't walk out the door today and say, I really didn't get what I wanted today. Because you're our God. You're our provider. You're providing for us the spiritual needs, the physical needs, the mental needs, every kind of need that we have today. You are our provider. And so we're expecting you to show up today and to open up our minds, open up our hearts so we can receive what you have for us today. So right now, you go ahead and just open up your heart and say, Lord, yourself, Lord, I want to receive today. I have a need today, and I will receive that need met today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Well, Pastor David, I listened to his tape last week. Anything you want to know about any of this book, he taught it all last week. So I'm going to teach. No, I'm going to teach the same thing. But I listened to it, and I mean, it is really so much covered that there's no way you can sit in here and hear what he taught and go home and take it all. He said, well, I have the Holy Spirit. He'll bring back my remembrance, everything that was said. I'm telling you, it was so much said, you would be very spiritually grown up if you heard everything and received everything he said. So I would suggest that if you can find the CD of last week's, go over it and listen and listen and listen. Not just the stories that he was giving about Kenneth Hagin and his experiences, but there were so many different little nuggets in there that I haven't heard in a long, long time. Sometimes I wonder why I believe certain things, and I find out through listening to Pastor David. He got his foundation the same place I got mine. So I said, that's where I learned that. I thought it was just me and God, you know? And he just taught me. So somewhere in the line, I learned some things that I didn't know that I knew. But there's some beliefs that I have that I wonder why I believe certain things. But now I can see, you know. The chapter, we're on chapter 21. Anybody know that? We're on chapter 21. And the title of it is, My Spirit, I like it this way here, is it me or is it God or is it the devil? Mm-hmm. But this one is, my spirit, God's spirit, or just my flesh? That's a good, very interesting question. But I think it's very, very important. Romans 8:14 says, for as many that are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. I know that that's the translation, but I liked another translation where it says, for as many that are led by the Spirit, they are the children of God. Now, that could make somebody think, well, that's a qualification to be children of God, is being led by the Spirit. Well, think about it a little bit. You know, we need to come in agreement that that's very important. To know how to be led by the Spirit of God. As a Christian, when you're first born again, that's one of the first things you should be trying to find out something about. How to be led, how to hear from God. Don't you think that'd be important? Well, see, I agree with St. Paul. Y'all know who he is, right? Kenneth Hagin and God. Where he says we need to understand how important it is to be led by the Spirit. John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice and follow me. Now before that, in the first part of John chapter 10, he's talking about a shepherd and them knowing his voice. They know his voice and they obey. But then he goes back, and this is in red in my Bible here. Jesus is still talking. And he says, well, let's look at that scripture. John 10:27. Is that it? My glasses. I was working on a job the other day, doing pressure washing, a two-story house, and my ladder only went up to 22 feet, and it was like 33 feet. So if you ever had to get up on top of a ladder with a pressure washer and doing this, and then all that green mildew and fungus and all kind of names, and come to find out from the pharmacist, it's a lot more than what I thought it was up there. All the pollen and everything, and then come to find out there was a poison ivy, a poison oak tree planted right by that. So all the pollen off it was there. But anyway, it got in my eyes, you know, and I'm trying to look, and I'm winking one eye for a while, and I'm doing the other eye for a while, you know, and it kept falling, and I'd take my T-shirt, which was soaking wet with you know what, right? I didn't even put that together for a while. And I'm wiping my eyes with the T-shirt. So I'm smearing that stuff in there, and I made it through that job, which took me about 3 hours on that. And when I came in, I'm wondering, gosh, everything got so cloudy. Everything was foggy. And I went in and washed my eyes out with water. That's all I had at the house here that I was at. And all of a sudden, it got foggier and foggier. I couldn't see. I went to look in the mirror, and with the light shining, it was so bright, I couldn't. I had to turn the light off. Matter of fact, I had to go outside and get my sunglasses to be able to see. I had to go up the road to an Ingalls pharmacy and explain it to them. And they said, oh, it'll all pass. Just wash it, wash it, wash it. And I did. It took about 10 hours. But anyway, so today I've still got a little bit. It's not too foggy. I did drive here, y'all. Don't get in front of me if I'm driving. But I don't have to wear glasses for distance, usually just for up close. Anybody here born around 1947? You know what I'm talking about. Okay. So I got an excuse here. Anyway. I'll pray for you. No, I'm kidding. I'm talking about me here. And it says in verse 27, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. Everybody hear me? Hear. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them. See, I recognize their voice. I recognize them. I know them, and they follow me. They follow me. You know, I take things personal. I don't know about you, but when I read the Bible, I take them personal. It's God talking to me. I know the Holy Spirit doesn't condemn. I know that's not his job. That's my spirit's job. If you've been reading this book here, Kenneth Hagin talks about that. It's not the Holy Spirit convicting me. It's when he gave me a new spirit, that spirit in me, that new perfect spirit, a creation from God in God's likeness, convicts me that that's wrong. God's not going to beat me up. My Bible tells me he's not holding my sins against me. Amen, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He's not holding my sins. He's not counting and saying, okay, Brian, you messed up here, you messed up here, you messed up here. He had to have a lot of things to be writing up here, right? All the times I've messed up. All the times I've let the flesh rule or my soul, my mind rule instead of my spirit. And I'm not, you know, he's not keeping up with it, so it's no sense in me keeping up with all my mistakes. Amen? You either. Amen? Our text today is Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Other translation says, the spirit of man is the lamp unto the Lord. Some will say the light, which is just like, say, a light bulb. It's where God turns on. I want to turn to another scripture here, that Psalm chapter 18, verse 28. Psalms 18, verse 28. I hope you brought your Bibles tonight because we don't have... do you have it here? Oh, my goodness, great. I don't even need glasses this then. Okay. You know that was God, don't you, Doss? God and what? Well, anyway, I'm giving God all the credit. Don't forget it's the Lord that gives you the power or the strength or the ability. Hello? Never forget that. Who do you think you are? Anyway, it's another sermon. For you will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. He will enlighten our darkness. Ever seem like every time in your life where it's kind of like things are dark and you're looking for an answer for something and you haven't quite got it, you don't want to admit it. You might not want to say amen this morning, tonight, but in our lives, there's times that things don't seem like God is answering my prayer or I'm getting what I'm believing for. I'm, holding on. I'm getting a grip, as I said, bulldog grip on the God's word. And no matter what it looks like, I'm not letting go. I'm willing to fight the good fight, which is only one good fight, and that's the fight of faith. And that's the one you win. Hello? And if God said it, then you win. You just got to keep fighting to stay in faith. That's our fight. We're not fighting demons. That's another sermon. Don't get off that, Brian. Okay. Try to sit back on here. Our fight is a fight of faith. To stay in faith when demons or anything else comes against you to get you to let go of what you're believing for. Amen? Or even God's word. But what is this? What does this mean? It means that really he is enlightening us so he can guide us through our human spirit. For us to have understanding today on this class tonight, I recognize most everybody in here. I don't see any new visitors or anything like that. So I'm sure all of you understand that a basic principle, here that you've got to have understanding on is God made you a spirit being. Say, I am a spirit. I have a body. And I have a soul. I guess I could have said it. I am a spirit. I have a soul. And I live in this earth suit here, right? It's just an earth suit to put on right now. For right now, as long as I'm on this earth, I've got to take care of it, right? When we say, know you not that you're the temple of a living God? It's not this flesh, really, it's just the temple. It's your spirit is the temple. He lives in your spirit. Amen? He lives in your spirit, not in our flesh. See, these are things we must have understanding of here. We know that 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, it says, I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. So he's talking about working out your salvation to all of it. We can't just say around, it's my spirit to save. My spirit never makes any mistakes. It's just my old flesh and I guess God's not through working with me yet. Well, he's not, but you've got to give him something to work with. You got to spend some time with him in the word. Isn't that right? Because it's going to take some transformation here on that part in your life. Ezekiel 36, let's look at that. I've got here Ezekiel 36, 27, 27. You got 26, 27. It says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I'll take that heart of stone out of you, your flesh, and give you a heart of flesh. I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. See, he says, even in the book of Ezekiel, the Old Testament here, it says, I'm going to give you a new spirit. He's not taking your spirit from before and just kind of cleaning it up a little bit and giving you a second chance. He gives you a new spirit, a brand new spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a what? A new creation, a new creature. You might want to say that, but I don't know if you want to say that or not. But anyway, a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things become new, right? So we are a totally new creation. You've heard this before, but I have to make sure you understand where I'm going from here. Because I know that sometimes as people, if they don't get a basic understanding, they can't go anywhere else. You start working on a house, and it's going to be a three-story house. If you don't work on that foundation, that slab, the beginning part, if it's got a little bit of a lean, the higher you get, the worse. And I've seen people start off a little bit flaky and get more flaky and get more flaky. They might have went to Rhema with me. They came as a flake and they left as a flake. They didn't have a foundation. I'm not talking about anybody in here, you know. And I'm sure not talking about Pastor David or Pastor Carl, okay? That may be the only ones you know of here. Went to Rhema. But some of them insisted on being flaky. They just wouldn't get these basic things. They wouldn't understand it. He's given us a new spirit with the life and nature of God. 1 John 3:9 says, whoever is born of God doth not commit sin. You know, when I first read that, I thought, oh, brother, how am I going to explain this? Because every once in a while, I slip up. I think something I shouldn't have thought of. My kids start asking me, why is that everybody in car has a certain name? I won't tell you what the name is. But if they ever get in my way or pull out in front of me or slow down traffic, usually have a name. So I had to try to straighten that part of my life up a little bit in front of the kids because it's not very good teaching. They thought they had another name for all the people in cars, you know, but okay, I'll confess mine. Oh, it's your turn. Okay, no, I'm kidding. But, my weakness. But it says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed, it's a key word, seed. Everybody say seed. Seed. His seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Wow. That is, you have to understand who you are. I am a spirit. I have a soul, a mind, will, and emotion, and I have this body. I have this flesh. But I have a seed in me from God, a seed he planted. A seed he planted that cannot sin. Boy, there's people that have problems with that, but you can read it in Ken Hagin's book here. From chapter 16, you can see it in there too. So I wonder why I believe that, you know? How can I see? But he gives scriptures on it. It's not that I ever preached it or taught it, because I just, you know, you just know that you know, just know it bears witness with you. Because I know that many Christians have sinned. And this scripture comes out and says, whoever is born of God cannot sin. It's not talking about your mind, your emotions, your will, or your flesh. It's talking about your new created spirit that's made in the likeness of God with God's life and God's nature. Amen? Amen. Okay, we're still working on the foundation. One more scripture, at least. 1 Peter 3:4. 1 Peter 3:4 says, rather let it be the hidden person of the heart with the, what's the next word? Incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is the very precious, which is very precious in the sight of God. Can you find that in King James for me? It's talking about incorruptible seed. Rather, let it be the hidden man of the heart, which is the incorruptible seed that God planted inside of us. Incorruptible. Now, I would like y'all to think about that a minute. Some of you act like look like you're looking at a new gate or something. Or anybody know what a cattle gap is? You ever see a cow look at a cattle gap? Ooh, how do I get across that thing? They're scared to death of it. They can make it, but they don't know that. But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible. See, it's not corruptible. Even the ornaments and meek and quiet in spirit, which is in the sight of God at a great price. So, can y'all say amen now?
Amen.
That you understand that your spirit cannot sin. Oh, but what about people that lose their salvation? Oh, don't give me that now. We hadn't got time for that. Okay? You can't lose anything. You can give it up. You can give it away, but you can't lose it. Hello? All right, we won't get into all that. But anyway, but this is the uncorruptible seed that God plants inside of us. Now, we'll go ahead and let's look at, now we'll go ahead, since we got that foundation, I had to tell you those things first. I had to make sure y'all was in agreement with me. And if you're not, if you want to stick with your tradition, you can go ahead and stay there. It's your choice. Y'all know how you catch monkeys in Africa, right? Y'all heard that story before? They cut a little hole in a coconut, and they put peanuts in it. They stick a nail with a rope string tied to it, and they plant little peanuts out there close to it, and they follow a trail, and they hide behind a tree. And when the monkeys go up there to it, you know, they stick their little hands in that hole, which is just big enough for them to get their hands in it, and they close a little fist around and grab that little peanut. Now, y'all have heard this now before? Y'all had heard it a long time? And they hold on that peanut. Now, when they start pulling that rope, dragging them out, they won't let go of that peanut. Some people do tradition the same way. Well, my grandmother told me. My grandmother told me a lot. But when I got saved, though, I told her a lot, too. I helped her out, too. But she's the one that helped me get saved. I mean, she's the one that prayed me in. But the Lord kept giving me revelations to help her. But sometimes we have to let things go. When somebody says you can't be healed, and we don't believe in that, and the Word of God says you can have it, and it says the kingdom of God, a kingdom of heaven, actually, but it really meant the kingdom of God suffers violence. And the violent do what?
Take it by force.
Yeah. Now, what is the kingdom of God? We're not talking about heaven. How many knows heaven's not suffering anything?
Right.
The kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but it's what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. How many knows there's a warfare for that? For your righteousness, your peace, and your joy. That's where the battle is. I'm doing too many sermons. We've got to get back on. Did y'all find chapter 21 in your book? Let me see if I can find my glasses. Okay, I better read the book. I'm supposed to read the book. Okay. It says here, start off with, it says Proverbs 20:27, says, Spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Someone might ask, this is Kenneth Hagin saying this, how can I tell whether it is my own spirit, the Holy Spirit telling me to do something? The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. But it may be just me wanting to do it. Define your terms now. It's very important. If by me you mean your flesh, of course you cannot always obey your flesh. But if it be me, your spirit, your inward man, the real you, it's a pretty faith, you know, you can depend on, you can trust that. That it's all right to obey the inward man. Go ahead and do it if that's what you want to do. See, but you have to be in a way that where you can hear and know it's your spirit. That inward witness was in Romans 8:16 where it says, the spirit himself bears witness with my spirit that I'm a child of God. You know, I had people to me come before and say, you know, I'm just not sure. I'm not sure if I'm saved anymore. There's some kind of miscommunication problems there. If they were born again, there's a fight going on in them because they're looking at everything in the flesh. They're going by how they feel. I don't feel saved. How many knows you can't go by feeling?
That's right.
I didn't feel saved this morning when I woke up either. I don't know about you, but you know, I can't go by feelings. I know. See, I know. And I started talking to God, and I'm hearing his voice, and he's talking to me. There's no questions or anything like that. I already know. Not that I don't ever doubt anymore. I can't ever remember doubting, but I know there's people that do doubt because of things happening in their lives. And, you know, I have to try to encourage them that they didn't lose it. They're just going through a battle. You know, just like a person that commits suicide. Gosh, how I get these things. Someone say, well, you know, that's unpardonable sin. You know? No, the unpardonable sin is rejecting Jesus Christ. You know, oh, sure, they sinned, but it was their flesh that sinned. That, you know, a person, a Christian, would have to be out of their mind to commit suicide. Anybody would have to be out of their mind to commit suicide, right? Yeah. So it was not their spirit that sinned. They just got so depressed and oppressed looking at their problems, their cares, and their worries. You know, you cannot be depressed without thinking about yourself. Can anybody really say amen out loud?
Amen.
You cannot be depressed without thinking about yourself. Woe me. Woe is me. This has happened to me. Why did this happen? Whatever. But there's people that, you know, that go through depression. See, it's our job to minister to people that are oppressed. Not, I didn't say the pastor. It's as Christians. We're always to give an answer for the hope that we have in our salvation. Is that a scripture? We're always to give an answer. How do you give an answer? You tell them about what Jesus has done for you. What's happened in your life. You're giving them hope. They can do like Paul said, hope against, well, actually it was Abraham. He hoped against the hope, the natural hope. He had spiritual hope. He had hope in God, right? Let me get back to reading. Where was I at? Anybody know? How many knows I just like to preach? Anyway. If your spirit is a new creature in Christ, old things have passed away, all things have become new. Your spirit has the life and nature of God in it. The Holy Spirit in you, your spirit, is in fellowship with God. So you're walking in light, sees in the light. So you're having fellowship with God. It is not going to tell you to do something that is not right. If you are a spirit-filled Christian, you have, your inward man has the Holy Spirit and a fullness in you. That's if you're filled with the Spirit. I don't know if you're filled with the Spirit. You might have been filled with the Spirit, but I don't know if you're filled with the Spirit right now. You might have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, but that's why it says in Ephesians 5:18, be you continually what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, I could, that's another sermon, right? You could be filled and you could have a little leak. When you get out of the Spirit, you get into the flesh, then you've got a leak there, you know. You're losing something. In verse in chapter 1 John chapter 3, verse 9, it says, whoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. And he cannot sin. Everybody say, cannot. The real me cannot sin. Say that.
The real me cannot sin.
Now, do you believe that? The Bible said it, right? Whosoever is born of God, the real you, the spirit, I'm talking to your spirit tonight, okay? I'm not talking about your flesh. I'm talking about your spirit. That's what contacts God, right? That's the candle of the Lord. That's the light that God communicates with, right? That is the light. His word is the light. It's a lamp, right? Light into your feet and a lamp into your path. It cannot sin because it's born of God. 1 Peter 3:4, I just shared that with you. The hidden man, which is not corruptible. See, this is talking about the inward man. Physically, we're born of human parents and we're partakers of the nature, their nature. Spiritually, we're born of God and partake of his nature, God's nature. It's not the nature to do wrong. It's the nature to do right, right? And let's see. If you continue, I'm going to the next paragraph. If you continue to allow your flesh to dominate you, you will continue to miss it. If you continue to let your natural mind dominate you and do not get your mind renewed with the word, you will continue to miss it. How many knows that's true? It's so important to spend time in fellowship with God. Spend time in the word with God. You know, when you're reading the word, you're fellowshipping with God. Are y'all here tonight?
Yeah.
Y'all, your heads, when you shake your heads, I don't hear nothing. You got to get a little closer. I can hear those BBs, you know. Hear some rattling going on. How much does it cost for an evening? No, I'm just kidding. He's saying here that, you know, that we need to trust him. Trust his word. Trust him. As the scripture I like in Proverbs 3. Everybody knows the scripture. Everybody uses it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. But he's saying, trust the Lord with all your heart, with all your spirit. It's not talking about this blood pump, bump, bump. You know, he's not talking about trusting with your blood pump. He's talking about trusting him with your spirit. That's the way you communicate with God. Show him you trust him. Lord, you said in your word, I'm counting on it. I'm expecting it. Every step I walk, as I'm walking by faith and not by sight, I'm not letting the things I see determine what I do. We started late, didn't we? You don't have time for any stories. Gosh. Well, I'll tell you a short one then. I got some good long ones, but a short one. And my wife reminded me of this. She says, we have to go by the inward witness and God speaking to us and know it's him and trust our spirit. And there was a lady that I did put blinds in her house up in Jefferson. And she has a two-story family room. And I told her, I said, now I can put the blinds up in here too. But she wanted all the windows, all the blinds in her house, wood blinds, and then down in her basement. I did all that. But there was these two big windows up on top, which are like 27 feet up there. You know, and so 5 years later, she called me. Now she wants those two blinds. She had given me a couple of referrals before, a couple other houses I sold with blinds. And I said, well, I already told Patsy, my wife, I'm not getting up there on a ladder in these two-story family rooms. I'm not doing that. And this lady says, well, Brian, I need you just to put those two in for me. I said, gosh, you know, I appreciate what she's done before. But I just didn't know how to tell her no. But inside here, something kept saying, don't do it. You said you're not going to do that. You have to take my 24-foot ladder, go inside a house, set up on a wall, put all the cushions on it, it doesn't score up the wall. So I already had a check that said, don't do it. And it wasn't just my wife. Because usually when she says, don't do it, I confess. I just for sure are going to do it. You know what I mean? I'm going to prove I can do it. There's no other man like that in here. but anyway, maybe that's what got me in trouble. But anyway, so I went to the house, and she had two children there. They're like 5 and 6 years old, sitting on a leather sofa there. And she said, I'll watch you. She says, I would like you not to move the furniture. So that was another check. Because what you have to do now is put that ladder straight up. You don't have a good angle. You've got that sofa there, and I can't touch this leather sofa or anything. So it's pretty well straight up. And there was another check. It said, don't do it. And I said, well, I'm going to do this and get this over with and get out of here real fast. So I got the brackets and got the 6-pound drill in one hand, got the brackets and the screws and probably put them in my mouth or something. I don't know where I was carrying them at. But I did the most stupid thing. You have to think things out. And I usually do. I trust myself a lot of times, but I shouldn't be trusting myself. I should have recognized that voice. And I climbed up that ladder, got up there, and here the children down there are talking to me, so I know where they are, right below me. So I'm with that ladder straight up, and it's, you know, wanting to go back, and I did a dum-dum. I put my left foot in the window. It's one of these windows that's recessed about that far back. Put one foot on the window. Don't do what I did. You understand? Don't never. I don't care how old you are. Don't ever do it. Don't let anybody do it. One foot on the window, one on the ladder, one with the brackets. Put the screw in the drill, which was magnetic. It'll hold the screw. And I'm trying to put pressure to get that screw to go in, and the ladder starts moving. And all of a sudden, your brain goes really fast. You can think fast sometimes. You can see the picture. You can see what's about to happen. I think, oh, that ladder is starting to fall backwards, and I've got one foot in here. I cannot let that ladder fall backwards because of the two children. Well, here's what happened before that. Here was another check. The lady was going to stand there and watch me, right? Ding, ding. She got a telephone call on her cell phone, walked out of the room. Anyway, we've got to learn how to follow those checks. Because next thing I know, the ladder's going back, and I'm seeing the kids, so I said, no, I can't do that. I pushed the ladder with my hands back toward the wall, and I know it would fall in the corner, but I kept that drill in my hand because that's another dangerous thing. The brackets, I didn't care about those little things, but I held on to this right here, and I was thinking, okay, if I'm falling back, I'll land on my feet. Well, I did in a way, but not the way I wanted to. On the way down, she had a 14-foot, armoire. And it was on the side, and it hit me on the left shoulder. And when it did, it flipped me over. You know, it wasn't God doing this to me. It was stupid on my part, I understand. But God had already given me a check. Three times. He said, don't do it. And I did it. Well, guess what? I didn't finish the job. Some lady came over and did it and finished the job. Nothing, not to say that women can't do things like that, but she had the right equipment to do it. Today, I have the right equipment to do it. Not that I'm going to do it, but my wife spent $500 on a ladder. What do they call it? Little giants or whatever they call them. Everybody seen it? Little giant? You can do anything with those things. I've got one of those that, man, it'll wrap around everything. Hug on, hold on. She doesn't want to see that ever happen again. But when I fell, long story short, 8 fractures in my left foot. When they sent me to a little clinic up the road, and I said, this is going to be okay. I can't walk on it, but it's going to be okay, you know. So the lady took my vehicle and brought me up the road with her 2 kids. But anyway, he got me there, and it was already turning black and blue and purple and green and red and every color you think of. And they took the x-ray and says, look at your feet. She says, I know you're a Christian, and I know this. She says, I know you're believing God, but you've got troubles because these bones did not line up. This one's over here, and this one's over here, and it cracked and split. But long story short, main thing is, it wasn't God, because I remember reading some things about Kenneth Hagin saying, or hearing him say, that times in his life he'd made mistakes, but he was told not to do something, and he went ahead and did it. So we've got to learn how to hear that little voice and know it's the Spirit of God. Our time is running short, and I was going to try to cover about 3 chapters. I didn't get 1 chapter here, but I know that, to make a long story short here, try to close this down here, is God is speaking to us. We just have to know his voice. He says he knows our voice. He recognizes our voice. We've got to learn to recognize his voice. You know, Michael, if you call me on the phone, I might not know it's you that called. I wouldn't recognize your voice. Why? You don't call me very often, right? But if we speak to God and we talk to him, he's going to recognize our voice. If we hear from him, spend time in his word, we're going to recognize his voice. And remember this, when he speaks to you, he says things that line up with God's word. I know you've heard Pastor David teaching this about how to know it's God that you hear. It always lines up with God's word. You know, as a pastor for about 35 years in the ministry, 40 years, I guess, you go back to 1975, I guess. But anyway, I've heard a lot of things. People like to chase me down to give me a word. As a pastor, I had people line up at the end of the service back there. Everybody's got a word for me. Everybody's got something to tell me. I'm thinking, my God, I spent 12 hours praying before I got here. 2 days getting this sermon together, getting this ready. Why didn't God just tell me ahead of time? Why do you have to use somebody else? Now, if it was something that was confirmation or bared witness with my spirit, that's okay. But I don't have to have somebody else tell me what God is saying. You know what I'm saying? He said the children of God are led by the Spirit of God, not prophets or prophecy or anything like that. Anytime somebody gives you a prophecy or says, the Lord wants me to tell you this right here, that's okay. As long as it agrees with God's word and it agrees with your spirit. Don't do it until it agrees with your spirit. Amen? I've already seen some great blessings in my life when I waited on God and didn't just go through because somebody told me something that was the seemed like the logical thing to do. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your natural reasonings, which you can understand with your mind. I don't have time to tell you all the stories, just any of the stories, really. But that's what God wants us to know tonight. He wants us to trust Him, to know that we can have a renewed mind. Romans 12, 1 and 12, 2 was, our closing scripture. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto Him, which is your reasonable service of worship, the Amplified says. I like that. And be not conformed to this world, but be therefore transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do we renew our mind? You know, in the Word of God. Renew your mind with God's Word. When you've got to God's Word, when something else comes up, you'll know if it's the right way or not. So you tune up your spirit. I've gone many times out to fast and pray to seek God about something. And when I seek Him about something, I end up not seeking Him for something. I just want to be in His presence, a quiet refreshing. And what do you do when you're fasting and praying? What you're doing is you're building up your spirit, man, to have more control of your life. That way you can recognize something. And I can tell you miracles that I've recognized and seen, absolute miracles that would dumbfound the smartest people in our church that thought they knew what to do. And, you know, you don't have to be real smart in the natural. The smartest thing you can do is spend time in the Word of God. Because it's life, it's health, it's medicine to all your flesh. Uh-oh, we're talking flesh now. We're not talking spirit, right? It will work. If you renew your mind with God's Word, you're feeding yourself spiritual food that strengthens your spirit to where it is stronger than your natural mind and your flesh, and it will develop in the right direction. Then all of a sudden, when something comes up, your spirit is not talking like a little. Your spirit's talking like I'm talking right now. It's got authority, right? And it tells the flesh where to go. Thank you, Father, for your word tonight. Thank you, Lord, that everyone here is good seed for your word. And that seed is planted, and it will produce a harvest according to your word. It'll produce a harvest because your word is seed and is planted in everyone here tonight. Anyone that's open, that's received it, it'll bring a harvest in their life, and it will glorify you and also be a blessing to them. In Jesus' name, everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Amen.